nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you my name when I finish. I don't want to break this flow. Where did you said some who say I know who I am. Do you truly know who you are? Where did Moses? The Bible said Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. This was a man that when God was so angry with a nation that he wanted to destroy him, Moses was just standing in God's presence. He has not spoken. He did not even know what they did. God said, Moses, let me alone. Moses' presence alone was already a cord that was tying God's hands. He said, Moses, let me alone so that I may destroy these people. That was the strength that Moses had with God. But where did Moses end his ministry? Where did Moses end his walk with God? It was the day that Moses offended the people. God was angry with Moses because he did not sanctify him before Israel. Praise the Lord. So as anointed as Moses was, as glorious and as great he was with God, there was still something that was higher in God's estimation than Moses. That was his people. Even though they were rebellious, they were stubborn, they had made golden calf, they had done all of those things. But the day Moses looked at them and Moses smite God's people, that day Moses' ministry ended with God. His walk with God ended. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me? Then Elijah, where did Elijah's ministry ended? His walk with God. Where did he ended? Romans, you are still standing. Romans. Romans chapter 11 verse 2. He said, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know you not what the scripture said of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel. As great as Elijah was one of the strong men in the prophetic line. As strong as Elijah was, this was where Elijah's ministry ended. The day he lifted up his voice against Israel. He may think he was just talking. They have killed me. They have killed all your prophets. I am the only one man that is left. God rebuked him. He said, there are 7,000 that have not bowed their knees to Baal. That was there and there Elijah's ministry ended. God said, go and anoint Elisha. The day he made intercession against Israel. Praise the Lord. So you can see the place that God's people occupy in his heart. Then David, example number 3. Go to 2 Samuel. That's why I wonder, do we know who we are? Do we know the depth of that statement, that word? It will revolutionize our life on earth. Second Samuel chapter 5 verse 12. He says, so David knew. That was when they just anointed David as king. He says, so David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he has exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. That was why David never violated Israel all through his reign. He said, God has exalted his throne for the sake of his people Israel. And he said, God has anointed him as king and exalted his kingdom. And that translation says, God has exalted his throne. That was the same throne that the Messiah came and sat upon. We call it the throne of David. The Bible said the Lord God will give him, Christ will give him the throne of his father David. God has exalted his throne because of God's people. And the longevity that David enjoyed on that throne was because of his relation with Israel. That's why David ended his last statement in the Bible, it was similar to this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God has anointed me. And he said, this is the last word of David, 2 Samuel. Let me show us. 2 Samuel chapter 23. He said, now, verse 1. He said, now, these are the last words of David. God says, David, the son of Jesse, God says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. He said, the spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and his word was on my tongue. He said, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. He said, he that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. His first word was that God has elevated his throne because of his people. So the anointing and the power that David had, it was all for Israel. So that throne that he established was the spiritual throne that the Messiah came and sat upon. So when Jesus came on earth, he could not violate God's people. That's why Jesus sat upon that throne, and from that throne he shed his blood for God's people. Because these were the paramount things. If you look at the eyeballs of God, you see his people. Amen. If you look at God's eyeball, you will see yourself, you see myself. You see the man that God created in Genesis 1. In Genesis 2. Praise the Lord, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. So David had this understanding that the first word of David, he said that God elevated his throne because of his people. And the last word that David says that he that rules over men must be just. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I told you, Moses, I gave you an example of Moses where he ended with God. Elijah, where he ended with God. Then David had wisdom, even Saul too, where he ended when he was misbehaving and turned his back and making them merchandise of God's people, and then God's instruction to him. So it was a man like then the last one, when the man sinned, part of the things you did not notice that is not there, but I'm not going to it so that I can continue my sermon. Part of when man, God drove man, he said the man sinned, he ate that tree, that's in Genesis 3, and God drove him out of the garden, and then God pushed a flaming sword by the garden. But when the man was leaving the garden, God followed this man out of the garden. The father, all of them wanted, the Trinity, all of them wanted to go. All of them wanted to go to Jesus that left. That is the word. It's the word that left forth, you know. So he followed the man out of the garden. That's why you keep reading, he said, in all the affliction I've been afflicted. You pass through the waters, you pass through the fire, I've been there with you. Jesus followed, which is the word. The Father, the Son, and the Word. The Word went forth. And the Word was holding forth to the sons of men until the time of the restoration, when the Word was physically born on earth. And after he was born, the Holy Ghost followed. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost literally came to the earth where man abode. Amen. The earth is a speck of dust in all the galaxies that God has created. But because man inhabits the earth, and that is where God has chosen to tabernacle. So when man left the garden, Jesus, the spirit of Jesus left with him. And the spirit of Christ had contended and has stood with man over the ages until the Messiah physically appeared on the earth. And when he came, then he prepared the ground. The Holy Ghost who came on the day of Pentecost. And the good news is that the Father himself is coming. Revelation 21 verse 3. Amen. Let me show you. Revelation 21. When Satan lifted up his hand against man, he touched something that was so deep and so profound, and they never knew what they were doing. Revelation 21 verse 3. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 1. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven. What did he say? Please, I want you to echo your voice. Say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God himself will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and he will be their God. Praise the Lord. So I want you, in one simple breath, can you begin to appreciate your Father? Begin to appreciate your Father. When Satan thought he had done his worst. Humanity has been degraded and has been degraded to the lowest ebb. The Bible woke up in John 3:16. It was not the word he created in Genesis 1. He said, for God so loved the world, with all of the death, all of the murder, all of the rebellion, when he said that the earth is finished, man is finished, everything is finished. God just woke up as if he was waking up from slumber. He said, for God, look at the same humanity, look at the same earth. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The precious thing in heaven, God looked at it and gave it as a sacrifice so that he can redeem man back to himself. Mm. appreciate your father. Begin to bless him. Thank him for begin to ask him for light. Open my eyes, open my eyes. Light, revelation, truth, truth, light, revelation, wisdom, power. Malakanda, and your father, a katata, Libore, Malakada, who receive sight, who receive sight in Jesus' name, who receive sight in Jesus' name, who receive sight in Jesus' name, who receive your wisdom in our heart, who receive power, power, oh Father, in Jesus' name, the deposit of power inside of us. We activate it, O Father, by the power of your life, by the power of your name. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. We honor you. We magnify you. We reverence you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy One. We bless you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We honor you, Father. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy One. Jesus came. Malakada, thank you, Father. Honor you, Father. Honor you, Father. The rest of your life rests upon an understanding of this truth. When you don't know who you are, or more so when you don't know who your God is. The Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong. They that know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. In Jesus' name, our Father, we thank you. We bless you, Father. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this moment and this hour. Thank you for your word in our spirit. Thank you for the Holy Ghost in us. We give you praise and glory. We honor you in Jesus' name. Open our heart. Open our understanding. And as your word that is coming forth, let it come with your anointing and your presence. In Jesus' name. Can you put your hands together for your Lord? If we close this meeting, how many of us are already blessed? Eh? You're welcome in Jesus' name. My name is David Abubakar. And it's my pleasure to be among the corpus again, NCCF Akure. Thank you for the invitation and the privilege to be a blessing to God's people. Thank you, Papa, and your entire team. I was here before. How many of us still remember? How many of us were here? I'm just in few hands. Yeah. Okay. I spoke on the home. I think some of you were in camp. And I was also in your camp too, sometime last year. I spoke on the crucified life. How many of us were in the camp? Praise the Lord. Now, they said the team for the year is working with God, and your quarter team is being separate. And the specific topic I'm giving is separated to reign, right? Right? Okay. And the text I'm giving is Romans 5. So let's look at that text. Romans 5. Don't worry, I'll try to make it snappy. Romans 5. Are we there? From verse 14 to 21, I'll read the entire text. It's, nevertheless, separated to reign. That's the topic. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man Jesus Christ has abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment came, which came from one offense, resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteousness, the one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace abound much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. Now look at verse 14. The Bible says, nevertheless, death reigned. What reigned? I'm talking to us on separated to reign. He said, death reigned. Then if you go on to 2 times, verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace. Then if you go to verse 21, it says sin reigned through death, sin reigned in death. Even so, then the word that I'm trying to bring out to explain there first, to begin my word, what I'm telling us is, from, is it death reign? What is death? Is it our perspective and understanding about death? Okay, somebody has died. Praise the Lord. You see, look at it. Everything outside God, everything outside the circumference and the radius of God is dead. Death is not an event. Death is not an event. Death is a spiritual entity. It's a death reigned. Death is not an event that somebody died. That is not death. Those ones are shadows of death. Death is spiritual. Death is spiritual. It's another life form in the spirit. So the day God made man, the Bible says God breathed into man, the man became a living soul. The man came alive, the man had life inside. And that life is the God kind of life. He began living that life. Then you know the other story. God said, the day you eat this food, that day you will die. The day you eat this thing, you will die. So the day man ate that thing, that very day he died. That day, what is death? Death is that which robs you of all your heritage in God. All your spiritual inheritance, that which takes it away. It takes away God out of your life. And when it takes God out of your life, it's not as if you are not still going to be living. You are still going to be, you are going to be living another life form. And that life is what we call death. So when God made man, you can compare Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there was no sin. Sin came in Genesis 3. So if you live the life that man was living in Genesis 1 and in Genesis 2, now compared to the life that man was living in Genesis 3, that the difference, the two explanations is what we call death. Death. The life, the man, this was the life that God created. So one of the first things that death did was to stop man from living his life. The life that God ordained, the life that God created, it has been God's purpose, God's counsel, God's eternal purpose for man that he was putting on the earth. The first thing that death did was to stop the man. He stopped him from living that life and then gave him another life to live. So that was why the first thing that Satan said, the first lie that was told in the Bible was that you will not die. He said, the day you eat it, you will not die, for God knows. That was the first lie that was told in the Bible. And he said, you will not die. Praise the Lord. So sin is not an end in itself. Sin, it takes you on a journey. It takes you on a journey to death. It takes you on a journey to another life form, which is not in God. So that was what happened in the garden. That's where it began from. Now if you read your Bible well, what this one, the Bible called it, there was no name for it, but there was another death they called the second death. In that second death, it's not like the first death that the man had died. He's lying down lifeless. No. The second death, I won't open in Revelation because of time. You can study, and some of us are familiar with it, then you can study the second death in the book of Revelation. All this Bible application, when you type the second death, it will bring it out. The second death, those men, no, they were alive. Praise the Lord. In the second death, which he called the lake of fire, the Bible called it the second, they were still alive. but separated. That separation from God, that is what we call death. So you can even be born again. You can be a child of God, and you can end up not even living your life on it. That is what we call death. That's why if you look at if you read the Bible, say in First Corinthians, it said the last enemy that God will destroy is death. Death is a spirit. It's a spirit. It has a govern. It's a spirit, and it has governing principle. It has ways of life. So everything you see outside of God, that's the first thing that happened in the Bible. The first thing that happened when man and man came to relate, you know what happened? It was death. They say Cain rose up. They went to the field. They could play in the field. They could do so many things in the field. But Cain rose up and killed his brother on that field. Praise the Lord. So I'm trying to. Can you see what we call death? It's a life on its own. In Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, they never knew that life. And if they had not eaten that fruit, Adam would give birth to Cain, give birth to Abel, give birth to other children. They will not know anything like mother. So this thing, what we call the works, the works of the flesh and the works of the fruits of the spirit. If you see those works of the flesh, those are the attributes, those are the elements of death. It's a life that people live. Some people are murderers, true or false. See all those things listed. So it's a life. So death is not an event. So I want us to cancel it out. That's why one of the things that Jesus did, they say that Hebrews chapter 2, that he might destroy him that had the power of death. You see this thing called fear. Fear. All of those things, those are rumbles of death. So these things can still saturate our lives as believers, and you will not live your life. I want you to get this point. You can be born again and not live your life. Your spirit is saved, but your soul is not saved. Your soul must be renewed and transformed. What we call the salvation of the soul. So it's another journey on its own. Your spirit gets born again instantaneously, but not your soul. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your soul gets transformed. The Bible says, beholding and it's in a glass, the glory of God, we are being changed from glory to glory. We are being renewed and being changed even to the same image. So you can be born again. You can shout, I'm done talking, devil chasing, and live on earth for the next 50 years and not live your life. Praise the Lord. The Bible says death reigned. It's a life that you see people live today. It began from the day of the fall. That was another life that was delivered to God outside of the life that God gave man. Man lost that life. And so when Jesus came, he came to restore that life back to man. Back to man. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. I'll read from verse 14. He said, now and then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through what? Fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Through the fear of death. All their lifetime on earth, live for 80 years, they were in bondage. What? They were in bondage to what? What did you read in your Bible? Please, I want us to talk. I want to show you. I want to hear your voice. All their lifetime, they placed to rest. What did he say? That verse 15 alone. It's a true fear of. You see, when you have fear, it's not just ordinary. Praise the Lord. You see, recognizing and acknowledging the dominion of another kingdom. Well, so many times we are filled with fear. You know, I'm graduating now. What is going to happen to me? I don't even know. All of the unknown, all of the sending. These things are not ordinary. You see, our life, our life is more spiritual than most of us think. When you see, our life is more spiritual than most of us think. It's a fear. Fear is an attribute in the spirit. It's a fruit. It's a fruit. That's why the fruit of the spirit is called faith. The inverse of fear is faith. So all of the things that God is speaking concerning, look at what I told us about those men, those wonderful men. And God stopped them because they lifted up their heart against his people. To tell you the place that God's people occupy in his heart. Then to now see his child now became afraid, now begin to doubt him, all of the promises, all of the word, he that gave us his son, will he not together with him give us all things? In the light of this word like this, he has sent his son. He has sent his Holy Ghost from heaven. Then what more do we need to convince us that God loves us? Even as much as we want to, but there is another working in our soul. If we don't recognize it, if we don't know it, then it will rob us of life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy 1. I want to explain this so that I can explain. When you say you reign, so your mind is not just going from pillar to post. You are not going to reign over men in Ghana. You are not even going to reign over men. We don't reign over men, we reign over thrones. We reign over princes. We reign over principality. We reign over power. Not over people. Not over people. Okay. When the Messiah was come, he never reigned over any man. He reigned over thrones. The Bible says, having spoiled principality and power, he made an open show of them on the cross, triumphing over them on the cross. Praise the Lord. So if we don't understand our dominion and our rulership, Satan will confuse us. Even ourselves, our mind will confuse us. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy. He said, verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. When Jesus abolished death, he carried your life and handed it to you, that go and live it. That is the dominion, that's the rulership. Go and live your life. You remember Romans 7. The things I want to do, the good that I want to do, this is the way I know I must take it, but I can't even take it. He said, but sin that dwells in me, that was working all kinds of evil inside of me. So one of the things that God, one of the things that happened in general, I say, man could not live his life again. I say, what is death? Death is that which rob you of all your heritage in God, everything that you have in God. Is that this thing that the word of God has said, spoken about? Fear alone can shut it down in your life. Lust can shut it down in your life. The Bible talks about the spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. So when you see people misbehaving, it's not as if they are just, he said there is a spirit that is working inside of them. The day God created man to house spirits. Hope you are aware. God created man to be a temple for spirits. So that's why you could be a temple for unclean spirits, or you could be a temple for what? For the Holy Spirit. There is no middle ground. That's why Jesus, the first word that he said, that your team, he said, come out from them and be you separate. Touch not the unclean and I will receive you. The word unclean there, the first mention of unclean in the Bible, in the New Testament, is in relation with unclean spirits. That's why the Bible says Jesus casted, I give you power to cast out unclean spirit. So many people sit down in classes together. Some of them are filled with unclean spirits. You see some people after some time, you see they jump into the lagoon. That spirit keep pushing them, keep nudging them. You know, after some time, a lot of kinds of things happen, spirits. So man is an abode of spirits. I want you to get it. It's not just like that, all our action. No, everything we are tied to spirit. The day God made man, he made him to be tied and to relate with spirit. Is that the spirit of God or the spirit of the evil one? So there is no middle ground. So when the spirit of the evil one is there, that's the one we call death. Then when the spirit of God is inside of us, that's the one that infuses us with life. We call it life and immortality. You are able to live your life. My brother gave a testimony of divine healing, divine health. This, you are able to walk in everything that God has said. That is where the rulership starts from. People cannot even live their life. Praise the Lord. So many lives have been destroyed by lust. All of these things are princes, are rulers. In the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principality, host of wickedness in the heavenly places. He said the rulers of the darkness of this world. He said the darkness that is in this world, they have rulers. There are people that govern them. When you see gay movement, it's a government. They are rulers, people that govern it. How many marriages have been invaded by spirits? The man has sworn that I will be faithful to this woman. He loves this woman and everything. But in the course of going 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, all of certain things began working in his life. Before you know it has happened. Praise the Lord. So I want you to get, he said, death reign. Death begin to rule men. Death begin to control men, the ways of men on earth. The governing wisdom on earth, the wisdom that men use. The wisdom that men now use to live life was not the wisdom that God implanted in man from the beginning. It's that wisdom that is called death. I said, death is not an event, it's a life. And death is ultimately a spirit. The Bible said the last... okay, let me show you one scripture. I'll leave that one then, so that I can use the next few minutes to explain Revelations 20, verse 13. Let me read from verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. He said, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. He said, this is the second death. And all those that were not written in the book of life, they will be cast. They will still be alive, and they say they are dead. The Bible says, I was dead in trespasses and in sin. I was dead before, now I'm alive in Christ. All of those people that does not have Christ, they don't have life. That's why I say they are dead. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was dead. Those things are real and true. Those things are real and true. Revelation 6, when Jesus was opening the seals, he opened the first seal. That was when John saw a revelation in heaven. He opened the first seal, the second seal. Just look at what he saw. He opened about four seals. When he opened the seal, things were happening on the earth. I won't go into it. I'll just open the scripture that I want to show us. Revelation 5. Okay. No, sorry. Revelation chapter 6. When he opened the first seal, opened the second seal, the third seal, then the fourth seal. Verse 8. When Jesus opened the seal, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the four living creatures saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him that sat on it was death. And hell followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. I stopped my analogy there. Now, for you to reign in life, you need to develop your spiritual capacity. You need to learn God. You need to understand God. You need to grow in God, grow in His ways. If not, you'll be a victim on it. It's never in God's will, you know, constitution, that a lady will carry pregnancy. You've not shown the baby for 9 months. And you go into the delivery room, and the baby will not come out. All kinds of stories will begin to happen. There are more. If you read, go and read the gospel. I kept wondering, how many unclean spirits came out of people. Somebody can even be a director with tie and suit and an organ in the office, but he has an unclean spirit. You know about spiritual possession. Those were those days. They are wise now. You know, as the times and the season goes, even the princes too, they are wise. All those times they make you mad and tear clothes. Those are small operations. The higher operations of those ones, you see, be a normal person. You can even be a minister. You know, yes, and you effectively run the agenda of Satan. You can even be a president. You'll be signing all the gay laws. Wonderful speech. Go from when you deliver speech, everybody will be on their floor. I love this president. But he goes back and uses his authority and his wealth and his power to begin to sign gay laws. That man can sleep with animal. This is the way they come now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, God said, for this reason I raise you up, Pharaoh. Pharaoh was raised up to execute the counsel of the evil one. But he was a prince and was a king on the throne. So I want us to get this. I want you to get it. So now, how do you reign in life? Very briefly, I'll just say it. Now, go to John now. I needed to open this one so that I can have that understanding as a base. Then I'll just briefly go to John chapter 1. John chapter 3, John 3. I'll read. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said, John 3:3, most assuredly I said unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to, if he's not born again, he cannot see it. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, I'm taking you right to your foundation. Well, if you are here, you are born again. Say, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You understand that you are spirit. Understand that your life is spiritual. Understand that your understanding must be spiritual. Praise the Lord. He said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Bible says we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. You cannot go there, put your hands in the pocket and be speaking good grammar. It will not avail. First, you are spirit. So you are born a spirit, then you must grow. You must grow in the Spirit. If you are not growing in the Spirit, if you are not developing spiritual stature, there is no way you can live the overcoming and the victorious life. You can't even live your life. I mean your life. Your life is not the one that you are a matured man. You can reason, think, you wear suit, wear jacket, tie gill, and go up and down and go to school, read and get first class. You can have a first class. You are not even living your life on it. What are you living that there is no joy? There is no peace. We cannot walk in faith. We cannot walk in righteousness. All these things you call the fruit of the Spirit. That is the natural life that we are meant to live. There was no word called supernatural in Genesis 1 and 2. The word supernatural appeared in Genesis chapter 3 after the fall. So what we call the supernatural was natural to man. God come physically and they communicate, they relate. He said God will be walking. He had his sound in the garden there, and they relate and they talk. Even after the fall, he still had the echoes of those relationships. Praise the Lord. So that is your natural life. It's a life of joy. So the kingdom of God is joy, it's peace, and it's righteousness. If you don't know this one, you don't know life. Praise the Lord. Like be sleeping in that hotel that is spinning in Dubai. You can be sleeping in that hotel and you are not living your life. Even living your life. Praise the Lord. You are called to rain. That rain, born to rule. Where you reign is your world. You have your own world. You have your world. In the secular, there are people in your world. Your father, your parents, your siblings, those people, all of those things form your future. These are the things that pertain to your world. You will be a prince that rules in your world. You will be a king over your own world. Praise the Lord. Over the things that have pertain to your own life. You know, the way your life will flow on earth, you will rule along that path. And along that line, those men that their testimony are written in the Bible, they're men that lived their life. Abraham lived the life that God called him to live, a life of favor, a life of victory, a life of power. But Abraham was spiritual. He said, he that is born is spiritual. Then the Bible says, if you look at First John, he said, Second Timothy chapter, Peter chapter 2, he said, as living stone, we have been built a spiritual house. That means God is building us on a daily basis. So if you don't allow the building process to continue, it's not about giving testimony or the things that God do for you. That's one dimension of truth. Another dimension of truth is who you become. Who you become. One day God was talking, even if Samuel is here, even if Daniel is here, they cannot stop me from doing this thing that we do. So these were men that had power with God. The Bible says, as a prince, that Jacob had power with God and he prevailed. He prevailed over the angel and he had power and he prevailed over Esau. So you can see tokens of mercy. You cannot be living on handouts. Hand that God in his mercy just do something for you. After you are just a product of mercy. I know generally we are product of mercy, but I'm explaining in a context. That maybe paraventure is just enter for you, maybe you are lucky. No. It's a life that you know that this is a path. It's a goodness and mercy. Follow me. If I go to Ghana, they follow me. What I will see on that land, I will see goodness and mercy. Any sphere of life that I enter, what I will encounter, what will meet, my testimony, the thing that circle around my life, they are goodness and mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So can you see, Peter, they were being built a spiritual house. So you must take the things of the spirit very serious. Somebody can pray for you, but that prayer cannot take you to a place of destiny. It is the prayer that you pray that can take you to the place of your destiny. Hope you know. No matter how anointed the man is, no matter how father of the Lord or mother of the Lord the person is to you, the person praying for you, that prayer cannot take you to the place of destiny. It's the prayer that you prayed. Because this is your life that we're talking about. The things that are locked up inside of you, no man knows it. Each of us carry a unique aspect of God's grace and God's glory. You are a dimension of God that the earth has not seen before. Moses knew the rod. Moses never understood the book. The first day that God introduced the book for him, Moses faltered. He said, go and stand and speak. All that Moses knew was the rod. Praise the Lord. Moses knew the rod, he does not know the book. So they said, stand and speak. He went and carried the rod and he struck it 2 times. And that was how God said, this is the end. Yet, that ministry of the book was what God was going to give one small boy in the faith. And what is Joshua? God did not give him the rod. God gave him book. He was going to live by word. He said, let the stone stand still. There was no rod. There was nothing pointing to it. He just looked at the stone. He said, let the stone stand still. I have been battled and must fight. So, look at that operation. As great as Moses, Joshua was coming with a dimension of God that Moses never knew. Abraham had a dimension of God that was so great, he became the father of all of us. But the first day that God met one small boy, permit me to use that word in the faith, he said, my name is Jehovah, and by this name I was not even known to Abraham. I revealed myself to Abraham as God Almighty. But by name Jehovah. So this dimension of God that you are going to enter is what Abraham never even knew in his lifetime. So each of us is a unique aspect of God that you carry. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you are the one that will unveil it. You, the Holy Ghost walking with you, the Holy Ghost tabernacling inside of you. You know, tabernacle inside of you can begin to unveil your life. A lot of people live this day, they are born again, tongue talking. They could even be pastor and geo, but yet they never live their life on it. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about the miracle healing people, even your life. How many people could not, how many people are married and the marriage ended up in divorce? What the institution called marriage, they never tasted it. Permit me to use that word. Because it's an everlasting bond that cannot be broken. Even marriage, even the beauty, the glory, and the joy of marriage that God ordained from the beginning, they never saw it. Because people to divorce is to tell you that the problem that started from that place, it got to a point that both of us cannot take it again, let's separate. True of us. It's not a happenstance. It just happened now with divorce. No. Issues will have been there, boiling, raging over the years. So people leave, even what we call marriage, that every one of us is entitled to. People got married, never even experienced the life of marriage. Satan will take it away from them. What we call that is death. Death will reign. But grace can reign. The Bible says Jesus has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the power of the gospel. So when you see the gospel, what the gospel delivers is life and delivers immortality. The gospel delivers life and delivers immortality. Anywhere you are so full of life, exuding life. You are working in an office. That environment is full of life. It's characterized by peace. The peace of God is in that place. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was reading Peter, 2 Peter. You are being built. If you have this one, nobody will pursue you to come to fellowship. Nobody will pursue you to read your Bible. Nobody will pursue you for prayer meeting because you know that your life is at stake. Your life is at stake. It's not enough to marry a good man. It's a good man as of now. Tomorrow things can happen. I say this life, the world we are living is filled and infested with spirit. It's saturated with spirit beyond what we think. Spirit. Spirit. The world that we live in is saturated with spirit. So get it. Get this understanding, get this light as you run in life. The Bible says where 2 Peter verse no, it's not 2nd, 1st Peter. 1st Peter chapter 1, sorry. Please don't be angry. Verse 4. He said, to whom coming, verse 4, 2nd Peter chapter 2, verse 4. To whom coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen of God and precious. He said, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house. Can you see? You have built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. There is a work that is happening inside of you. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Then the last one, 1 Corinthians, is first. In all those first and second, sometimes they can be so confusing. Why is 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 2. He said, I told you we are born spirit. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You are spirit. And you are going to be feeding on spirit. Jesus said, the word I speak to, they are spirit and they are life. You are going to be feeding on spiritual substances so that your spirit can grow. Your physical body grow with rice and beans. Your body does not grow with it. Praise the Lord. Now, look at 2 Corinthians verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age and of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. This age has wisdom, it has its wisdom, it has its ruler. And these are princes, these are thrones, these are dominion, these are powers. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. See, there is a wisdom that is ordained for us for our glory on earth. It's as we grow in the spirit. You know, as we ascend spiritually, that we can come into this wisdom. We can grow and mature in this wisdom and now can begin to live the overcoming life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've once sat where you are sitting and I had words like this. I never joke with it. You know, I'll never joke with it. And I began working with God. Then God began showing me the template of my life. God began speaking to me. You see, when you have a very good relationship with God, so many things come from it. Let me read it down. I'm going to tie it up here. I'll come back to what I was telling you. He said, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. You don't see this wisdom in the dictionary. And you don't get it in the university classroom. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The things that God has prepared for them, it has not entered any ear, it has not been perceived. He said, but God has revealed them to us. Through who? Through who? Please, I want to hear your voice. Through what? Please, I want to hear your voice. Through what? But if there is no relationship, if there is no contact point with the Holy Ghost, if there is a relationship with the Holy Ghost, but that relationship is weak, what do you think is, what happens? Please answer that question in your heart. He said, verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that God has freely given to us. The things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. He said, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually what? They are spiritually discerned. I'll stop it here because of your time. I'll leave it there. But this is quite simple. I know it's a long chain. You had other teachings before now, so I'll just interject this one in between what you have had, and you're going to have other teachings after today. But this is it. Now he that which is spirit gives birth to spirit. Your identity on earth is spirit. You are spirit. You are spirit. You are spirit. So what befalls men cannot befall you. As a spirit, you have your heritage in God. Everything that Jesus procured for us is for us. He restored the heritage that we lost in Genesis 3. Everything is fully restored. 100% restored. So we cannot live a life, maybe all this fear, you know, one of the most destructive weapons that Satan has is fear. It shuts down everything that God wants to do inside of your life. That's why the Bible says all their lifetime they were in bondage to the fear of death. It's not physical death, fear of death. You see, you are afraid that you are not going to get a job. That's the fear of death. Go to Hebrews 2:15. You are afraid, people are giving birth to you, are pregnant, people are giving birth to you, they are dying and you are scared. When your wife is pregnant, you are scared whether she will deliver. Those fears are locked up. Those are the fears of death. It's a bondage. It's a bondage. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So these are the things, but this is called by spiritual growth. So it's not a prayer thing. I can't just pray for you. We can pray to initiate the process in your life. But it's a journey that you must undertake in the spirit. The Bible says we go from faith to faith. Abi, from strength to strength. The Bible says they go from strength to strength, from faith to faith, glory to glory. These are the attributes that God used in the Bible. So you must cultivate your spiritual life. You must grow in it. God equipped us for warfare. The day you get born again, God left us on earth here because we are people that must fight battles. You cannot be an overcomer without fighting battles. The promise in the book of Revelation says to them that overcame. Some people got into the war zone, but they ended up victims. But some go to that war zone, they come out as a victor. I mean, victors in life. Every parameter of life will work because that's what God said. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God and you bless your bread and your water. He said, none of these diseases, I'll take sicknesses and diseases from the midst of you. He said, with long life, Psalm 91, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. He's not knowing it in the head. You can't, he said, the greatest distance on earth, and even in life, is the journey from the head to the heart. He's taking this truth from your head and taking it to your heart. So that even when they wake you that your house is burning, you are not going to wake up and jump and run. Because you are, amen. Because your life is anchored on a rock solid foundation, and that foundation is Christ. Is this me? Wigglesworth had a story. He wanted to sleep after a meeting. Downstairs, some demons scattered the house. Physically, they came in. He went and met them, and when you finish, arrange the house back. And he went back to sleep. Then I read a book, Larry Huggins, The Blood Speaks. That's the title of the book, The Blood Speaks. He went to India for a meeting. When he wanted, he had an apparition. All the demons in India, they were passing his front. They were passing. Some of us see one demon. We see one. Amen. So can you say, your reaction will now explain the where we are in the spirit. And that's why we need to grow. That's why you need to build your life. You see, you arrange, all the demons were passing. All of them, one by one, different, and he was in them literally. He had his wonderful meeting and he left that land. Praise the Lord. One day, I was in the house, was sleeping. All of a sudden, something fell on the roof. I had already slept. He was just hitting the roof. I mean, my house was already scared, you know. Praise the Lord. You see, there are certain things in your life is settled. Fear will be taken out of the coast. Then, I'm not expecting a demon to visit me. I'm expecting the Holy Ghost to visit me. If I am in the room, the whole place is shut down. I don't know, some the door wants to open. I'm not expecting a demon. I'm expecting the Holy Ghost to come in. What I can say, is he around? Or has he sent an angel? You see, this is thing called by the process of spiritual growth. You know, when you grow in God, you grow in faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You grow in God, you grow in faith. So these are the benefits. This is where you can reign. You can rule. God, so God loves you. And God will show you mercy. You see talking. So, but will you want to live on handouts? You have gone to the university. You don't want to work. They should be giving you handouts. After you get married, they come today, give you 2 bars of yam. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is wonderful. And that time again, they come, they give you, take this 100,000. You know, they keep giving you. The Bible says Abraham was so blessed. He said, in you, others will be blessed. That's the covenant. You know, so you can stay on mercy and live on tokens of my handouts. But you can develop yourself and you can, because you are meant to be a blessing to the earth. You are meant to be a blessing to people. Praise the Lord. So please, can you stand up on your feet? I won't speak more than that. I have time constraints. So just let's stop it here. Just begin to pray. So can you see that song, I Know Who I Am? Right? Can you begin to pray and appreciate your Father? Can you appreciate God? I want you to lead there with a commitment to build your life in God. He said that which is the bond, you are a spirit. You are going to be living and feeding on spiritual things. You're going to listen to messages. You will study your Bible. You will pray on your own. You will worship on your own. You will befriend people that are spiritual. Some of you need to change your friend, all of them. They won't become your enemy, but you will not create room and time for them in your life. I've seen people after so many years, they have not taken tangible step in God. The same place they were 10 years ago in the faith, they are still the same places. All the testimony will give a testimony of tokens of mercy. Tokens. But not a tangible blessing. No substance. It's not maybe say silver and gold I don't have, but this is what he said, that which I have I give it to you. This is what I have, this I give it to you. These are people that say, I know who I am. I know who I am. And more than knowing who you are is knowing who your God is. I want you to pray. I want you to talk to your Father. Jesus has abolished death. Death, and has brought life and immortality. Life and immortality to light through the gospel. What the gospel does in you is to make you abound in life. Life is well-being. Well-being, everything going as it should go. Everything going as it should go. That is life. And I say, what is that? That which takes away all your spiritual, all your heritage in God. Everything outside of God, I said, is that. Everything outside of God, I said, is that. That is the workings of that. I said, that is the life in the spirit. It's another life form in the spirit. A life of torment. A life of torment. A life of pain. A life of fear. A life of poverty. A life of one misfortune to another misfortune. He said, I and the children that God has given me, we are for sign, we are for wonders. That is life. That is immortality. That is the meaning of life. Where you are bound in peace. He said, grace, grace and peace be multiplied. That is life. In the name of Jesus, we step into life. We step into immortality. Immortality and life in the name of Jesus. Father, we yield ourselves. We come before you open heart. With open heart, asking you to help us. Help us to strengthen the bond of our relationship with you. Help us. Help us. If Abraham had not developed his life with God, how will he have delivered Lot? Lot, can I hide this thing from Abraham? Can I hide this thing from Abraham? Abraham, my friend. Abraham, can I hide this thing from him? And Abraham intercepted, tried to intercept the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham. Abraham. What life do you want to live? What life do you want to live on earth? The Bible talk about somewhere. Not a single word that it speaks. Not a single word that someone speaks falls on the ground. What life? In what capacity do you want to serve God? Do you want to follow him? David. David. 1,000 years after the death of David, David's life was still interceding for his generation. David's life was still speaking 1,000 years after his death. When Jesus came, they gave him the throne of his father David. What life? The letters of Paul. Paul wrote letters. Paul wrote a personal letter to Timothy. God took that letter and God said, this letter is my word. Generation after generation must read this letter, because it was written by a man called Paul, a man that followed God, a man that worshiped God, a man that yielded and submitted, surrendered all, a man that loved God enough to lay down his life. He wrote a personal letter and God said, this is my word. All generation, as long as the heaven and the earth stands, as long as the sun abides, all men that are born must read this letter. In church, we are not playing. We are not joking. This is the life we are cultivating, this life in people. We are building this life. We are growing in this life.
Christ,
the middle hope of glory.
This is eternal life. Eternal life is not going to heaven. This is eternal life. This is a victorious life. Eternal life here and now.
Shri Makata, Itatali Shri Malakada, in the name of Jesus, I bless you. I bless you, my Father. I give you praise. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I want to pray for us. I'll just pray for one set of people. I want to pray for you want your life. I just want to pray for you. I'll pray for then after that I'll pray for everybody. Then three, I'll now pray for NCCL. I want to pray for a set of people. You have a limitation, hindrance, one or two things keeping you back from God. Whatever it is, I want you to come out. You want to know God more. You want to serve Him better. You want to grow. You want these things that we've been talking about. Limitation, I want you to come. Just come and kneel down here and talk to the Lord. The chains are already coming off. Under this atmosphere, the chains are broken. The chains are broken under this atmosphere. Under this atmosphere, you want more of Him. You want to grow. If you want to come out, come out. Talk to your Father as you say, so it will be. Every chains of darkness, chains, every limitation. How many of you know that prayerlessness? I didn't mention it. You want to pray, you cannot pray. Those things are death, ruins in men. Even after we are born again, we are struggling to pray. We are struggling to study the word. If you are having struggle with prayerlessness, come. After today, your prayer life will take another dimension. Those things are death reigning. Those are the reigns of death. The chains are broken. The chains are broken. Chains of prayerlessness. Lukewarmness are broken. Chains of lust. They are broken in Jesus' name. Chains of lust. The sin of this generation is lust. Let me tell you. Lust. That's why we have pornography and masturbation. The sin of this generation is lust. That's one of the strongest weapons too. They are two, lust and fear. The two strongest weapons that Satan has is fear and the spirit of and lust. Lust. Those chains are broken. I'm broken in you in Jesus' name. These chains are broken. By the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm broken in Jesus' name. By the authority of the one that said, let there be light. I bring the light of God into your soul, into your spirit, into your body in Jesus' name. The chains of death are broken. The one that broke it in my life. In break chains of death in your life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I pray for everyone that is here. I pray for them. I pray for them, my Father. I pray for them. I pray for them. You will walk in your heritage, in your spiritual heritage, your heritage in God. You will walk in it in Jesus' name. You will walk. You will walk. You will run and not run with you. In the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, that anointing of God rested dead in His house. In the name of Jesus, the chains are off. Receive a new appetite. Receive a new hunger. Receive a new hunger. A new appetite for the things of the Spirit. A new joy for God and the things of God. In the name of Jesus, every one of you, your prayers are answered. The God that loves to answer prayer has answered your prayer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you can go back to your seat. You can go back to your seat. You can go back to your seat. Everybody lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. I pray for you. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Righteous Father. We are your people, your treasure, the ones that you love, that you gave your son, and to whom you gave your spirit. We are all standing before you with our hands lifted and our hearts lifted unto you, to your will, to your ways, and to your love. Infuse us, saturate us with the appetite for the Spirit, with a burning heart and a burning desire for the Spirit. Every one of us in Jesus' name, take us to the next level. Take us to the next level. And concerning the ones that are graduating, I speak peace over your life in Jesus' name. I speak well-being in Jesus' name. Just like you have sang before your Father, you live a life of favor. I decree favor over your life in Jesus' name. Where doors are shut to others, it will not be shut to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, as you leave this place, I banish fear out of your life. In place of it, let the spirit of faith grow. But Lord, we have in the same spirit of faith. Let the spirit of faith, let it radiate. Let it overwhelm you in Jesus' name. And confront life with the spirit of faith. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. I pray for NCCF as a fellowship. Let your hand will abide with them. Your hand will abide with them. I pray for strength. I pray for new vision. I pray for new sight. I pray for new heart. A heart that will follow you all the way. All the way, all the way. Thank you, Holy One. Every obstacle that they face is for them to overcome it. It's for them to get stronger by it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Father. I say the Lord bless you. I say the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord.
You should not miss the presence of God in a place of fellowship.
For more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Nation on your heart.